Hey guys, Eric Peacock here with our Get Fit with Eric podcast. Back again after a few months of hiatus. Just kind of got busy with the stuff at the end of the year at the studio. We had a lot going on, but I want to make this podcast a more regular thing again on a weekly basis. And here we are in the first of the year, and almost everybody I know has some type of weight loss or get in shape type fitness goal. But what I see a majority of people do is they don't take the first important steps of really defining what they want to accomplish and breaking things down in a way that sets them up for success. So I'm going to cover in this podcast a three-step process of how you set yourself up for success in 2020. And I can just kind of speak to this process. I know it works. This isn't just theory. I actually did this process last year and was able to hit some really big goals, not just in my fitness, but in my business and my personal life too. So this process is good for anything. Well, I'm going to talk about fitness today, but you can use this. You should use this process for pretty much, I really believe, every area of your life. You know, you should be setting goals for your marriage, for your, you know, for your relationships, for your spiritual side. I mean, I think it's important to really work on all areas and not just focus on one. You want to be as balanced as possible. I don't know if balance, complete balance, is ever attainable, but a lot of times we spend a lot of time working on one area of our life while the other one suffers. So we're going to talk about this three-step process, and I'm going to keep it really simple. And number one is, I think it's really important that you write these down. You write it down versus put it in your phone, or you know, put it in a file on a computer. You want to make sure you write it down, because that there's something about writing something out that engages your brain and helps you kind of connect with it. It's kind of like reading a book versus watching television. I mean, when you're reading a book, your brain's more engaged versus you're more passively engaged when you're watching television or YouTube or something like that. So I would encourage you to write this down when you do this. So the number one step you're going to do here is for each part of your life. We'll talk about fitness today, like I said, but it's going to be the SMART goal. All right. Everybody's heard of SMART, but I don't think people really understand what it means. So it's an acronym that we use to really how to make an effective goal. And a lot of times in the fitness industry, what I hear is, I want to get in shape. I want to get strong. I want to get toned. What does get in shape mean? Does that mean I'm going to run a 5K? Does it mean I'm going to run a marathon? Does that mean a body fat percentage or a weight, clothing size? So what does strong mean? Is there a strength goal, like a deadlift goal, a bench press goal? You have to define what that is. So that's where the S comes in, the specific. The second one is going to be measurable. You have to be able to track your goal. If you just say, I want to get stronger in shape, how are you going to measure that? And that's why I said that's where the first part has to be specific, something that you can measure so you can see, are you moving towards that goal or not? Number three is attainable. All right. Sometimes we set goals too high or too low. I mean, I'm 47 years old. I'd love to be an NFL linebacker, but that's not ever going to happen. That's not attainable for me. I had a client one year that wanted to look like a celebrity who was in really good shape. And this certain client had always struggled with obesity, and it just wasn't a reality for her. And right there, she was setting herself up for a disappointment and a failure. So you have to be realistic, like, you know, where you're at and what time you have available to make your goals attainable. But don't make them too easy either, that there's no blood, sweat, and tears that goes into them. You should have to reach and work for this goal, but it should not be so out of reach that it's just impossible. And then when you don't hit it, you're going to beat yourself up about it. So it has to be attainable. Relevant is R. Relevant means, and this kind of said this at the beginning of the podcast, relevant is about this goal should not take over your life. It should help other areas of your life. And I've said time and time again, when you are in better shape, it helps other areas of your life. When you have more energy and you feel better about yourself, your mood is better, so you're better probably around your family and friends, your mental focus is better, so you probably are more productive at work and even at home doing projects, and you just feel better, so you just have more energy and you're just more fun to be around. So that is a relevant goal, because that does help improve other areas of your life, and all our clients who've had great results would probably agree with that. And then the last one, the T, is going to be timely. I mean, we all work better under a deadline. And I know I just talked to a client today who has a Mexico trip coming up, a spring break trip. I said, that's a perfect deadline. It's a hard deadline. Putting something out there where you have a hard deadline really kind of eliminates the ability to procrastinate. I know one of my goals last year was to do a men's physique show. And it's a big goal. I wanted to do the third one in my 40s, but I wanted to finish higher than I had before. And there was a solid date I had to be ready for. And if you know anything about physique shows, you got to be completely ripped and in really good shape when you get on stage because everybody's kind of looking at you and you're being judged on that. So there was a solid deadline. So there was no cheating, you know, close to that competition. There was no missing workouts. It was, I got to get on stage and do this. So I need to keep a sense of urgency high. And it's one of those things where a little pressure is actually a good thing. And so having a hard deadline, signing up for a race, a trip, a class reunion, something like that is always going to make you work harder and stay on course much easier than procrastinating. So having that timely piece. So that's your SMART acronym. And then we're going to talk about what drives the SMART goal though. So it's great to have a SMART goal, but if you don't have the fuel to drive it, which is number two, your purpose, you're going to fizzle out like a lot of people do by February here in the new year. So I would really identify what's the big reason why you want to accomplish this goal. What is it going to do for your life or the lives of others around you? What do you get from accomplishing this goal? You know, sure, yeah, if you get in shape, you're going to look better and that, but if you don't have this goal, what are you missing out on? You know, or what does this do for your quality? You know, what does this do for the quality of your life that you're not having right now? So really define what that is. And I'll give you a few examples. I've had clients tell me that, you know, they're watching their kids or their grandkids grow up and they're too pooped or tired or disabled to play with them and do stuff with them. And they, you know, that's killing them. I remember I had a woman years ago, they had an annual family ski trip. And until she started training with us, she would just sit down in the chalet while her family skied together because she physically wasn't able to ski because they would go out to the mountains out west, which takes a lot more physical effort than Buck Hill here in Minnesota. So she was able to go out and actually ski with her family, which is a huge thing. You think about quality of life and making memories, that's a big why. You know, otherwise are just people just are in a funk, you know, and when they can get a win, it helps them pull out of their depression. You know, when they can hit some goals, you know, sometimes just getting a win is what they need. They've been getting so many losses in life that they need to get a win, and fitness is a great way to get a win. So you have to define what that purpose is. It's got to be something that's going to fire you up. You know, because we're here in the middle of winter, it's dark in the morning, you might be trying to go to the gym in the morning or after work when it's dark, and it's cold. What is going to make you drive you to get to the gym? You know, what is going to drive you to say, when somebody offers you that really tempting dessert, and it's about 8 o'clock at night, and you know, you probably shouldn't have it, what's going to get you to say no thanks? All right, that is going to be your purpose or why, and only you can define what that is. And you would need to write that out and do some searching on this. Number three is the action plan. Okay, it's great to have the goal and the purpose, but what are the action steps you're going to take on a day-to-day basis or a consistent basis to make this happen? You know, so if I'm trying to lose, say, 20 pounds, what can I consistently do a day? Like an action step would be I could take my Fitbit or my Apple Watch and make sure I monitor my steps and I get 10,000 steps in a day. That could be one action step. Number two could be I'm going to take my lunch so I don't go out to eat with all my coworkers and eat too much. Or it could be I'm going to prep my food and have it ready to go on Sunday before the week starts. That could be an action step. You know, it could be getting to the gym 3 times a week. Those are important, those action steps. And I would keep it to 3 to 5. Don't write a book on this. 3 to 5 simple action steps. Simplicity is going to get you there. You don't need to go overboard on this, but you want to have this written out. This is what we review with our best clients that get great results. These are the things that we review. We go through their goals, which action steps they're hitting on or not hitting on, and you know, just getting back to their purpose. And sometimes these things change. You got to be open to changing. This isn't locked in stone. But these three steps are awesome in the process. So if you're going to get focused and really follow through this year and not have it be another year where you give up or you kind of settle for less, that this needs to happen. And it is, I'll tell you what, it is mental work. It'll be mentally taxing. You will want to go somewhere when you do this without any distractions. So get ready, turn your phone off or put it in the other room, turn your computer off, and just sit down quietly and really think about what you want to do this year in the areas of your life you want to accomplish big things, and then break it down. You know, break it down from 12 months to a quarterly to monthly, and then from monthly, it's just really kind of break it down. What am I going to do this week to move towards that goal? So these are just some simple things I wanted to talk about. They're simple, but they do take work. A lot of people don't want to do this work, and this is why a lot of people continue to struggle with their fitness and in any other area of their life. So breaking the goal down into smaller pieces is also important, because if you just have this big goal and this big purpose, but no smaller goals in between, you're going to burn out. So this is a marathon, not a sprint. So have those monthly and quarterly checkpoints of where do you want to be, and that goal will be much more digestible if you break it into smaller pieces. And a good analogy to this is, I already talked about skiing a little bit, but I'll finish with this. Is, you know, we used to go skiing out in Colorado and loved it. Loved skiing moguls. It was challenging. I like challenges. But some of these mogul hills out in Colorado are just massive, and they're just long, and the moguls seem like they're almost the size of cars. And if I look to the bottom of that mogul hill, it could really intimidate me. You know, wow, that's a really long way to go through moguls. But what I found with doing moguls, what the key was to do one section at a time. Is when I would do like, okay, I'm gonna draw a path through this section of the moguls, and it would do like four or five turns, then go to the next session, four or five turns. Next session, four or five turns. Pretty soon I was down that mogul hill, and it wasn't a big deal. It's because I just focused on the sections right in front of me, and that's what you have to do with your goals. It's just like going down a mogul hill, because sometimes goals can seem impossible and daunting, but if you break them into bite-sized pieces, they're much more attainable in that direction too. So hopefully this was helpful. If you need a good goal-setting form, you can reach out to me on my email, which is info@purevitafitness.com, or just hit me up on social media on Facebook or Instagram. We can send you our roadmap to success. It's basically what we use with our clients, and it just lays this whole process out. And it's what we use to have our clients do when they come in for personal training to help define where they're going to go. You know, you always want to have a destination in mind. If you're gonna drive somewhere, you don't just go out and start driving. You have a GPS or you have a map to help you get there. So we want to help you draw a good map here in 2020. And here's to your success in 2020. We'll talk to you next week. Hey guys, Eric Peacock here with our Get Fit with Eric podcast. And I'm here to start a new series because this is the time of year when a lot of people start to fall apart on their fitness and weight loss resolutions. And a lot of times we see the excuses fly up. And the number one excuse, I'm not even going to say one of, it is the number one excuse people give, is it's too busy. I'm too busy. I don't have time to do these things. And, you know, I'm here to really kind of teach you that, one, that's BS. And two, is how we're going to smash through that busy obstacle or objection that you give yourself all the time. People typically don't know how to manage their time, so their time manages them. And so you have to have a game plan in place to make sure you're getting the things done that are important. And a good story I'd like to share is, this is an analogy, but it's a great story because it's really relevant to today's society. There was a philosophy professor who once stood up before his class with a large empty mayonnaise jar. He filled the jar to the top with large rocks and asked his student if the jar was full. They said, yes, it's full. Then he added some small pebbles to that jar and gave the jar a bit of a shake so the pebbles could disperse themselves among the larger rocks. And then once again he asked, is the jar full now? And the students agreed, the jar is full. Then the professor poured some sand into the jar and filled up the remaining spaces. Then the students agreed that the jar was completely full. Then the professor went on to explain, the jar represents that everything that is in somebody's life. You know, all the things we have, all the tasks and assignments and obligations we have. The big rocks are to represent the most important things in our life. You know, taking care of our family, exercising, having some mindset, spiritual time. Those are the main things. Those are the things that really fulfill you. Meeting up with friends. The pebbles represent things in your life that matter, but you could live without. You know, they could be things that are important, but they're not life or death. You know, big projects at work, home projects, things like that. That could be in these things. Friendships, some friendships that aren't as deep, but those are things that are important, but not critical to have a meaningful life. And finally, the sand represents all the busy work and things, picking up the dry cleaning, running errands, going to the grocery store. So what's this big lesson from this story is that the metaphor here is, if you start putting sand in the jar, you will not have room for the rocks or the pebbles. And this holds true with the things that you let into your life. You spend all your time on small, insignificant things, you will run out of room for the things that are actually really, really important. And so this is a great story I like to use over and over again, because a lot of people do put the sand in their life first, and then they don't have time for the big rocks and pebbles. So that kind of leads me in. There's four things I'm going to talk about today. So number one is, you have to set out time to plan your schedule. A lot of people don't do this in their week. They don't really think about how much, you know, what they're going to be doing each day and what they're going to do with each block of time. They just kind of react and go through the day. You have to block things out that are important. You can use things like Google Calendar. There's lots of good planners out there. I'll put a pitch in. I use the Passion Planner, and I still use Google Calendar. And what I do is, and I have some of my clients do, is to block the time out for those things that are really, really important. And so that is really kind of number two, is you have to, well, number one is, I'm going to stick on number one here, is you have to put aside time to work on your schedule. If you don't work on it, like we say with nutrition, if you don't plan, prep, and shop, you're not going to be successful. Well, the same thing, if you're going to manage your time, you have to have time to figure out, to really take an honest look at the week and see what you've got available on each day, so you can go through your days and feel like you're doing things that are meaningful instead of just busy and being tired at the end of the day and really feeling like you accomplished nothing. So number two is you're going to block time for the most important activities. I like to do the first things first. The highest priority things need to get done in the morning. So for instance, if you can do this, like I like to get up in the morning and do my mindset time, my Bible reading, my prayers, all those things in the morning. And then I like to follow it with my workout. I like a tough workout because I like to get something hard out of the way first in the morning. And those are two of my non-negotiables through the day that I really feel if I do those two things, whatever happens the rest of the day, I can deal with it much better. I'm much more motivated. I'm much more mentally focused. So those are two things I like to do first. But when it comes to even like work projects, a lot of times we like to leave the hardest thing for last. And by that time, there's no time or we don't have the mental energy to do it. And so even with work projects, I like to make sure I get those things, the hard things out of the way first, if possible. And I'd also encourage you to make some things non-negotiable. And I'll give you some examples. I said like workouts should be non-negotiable, taking care of yourself. I really believe the people that really function the best take some time to do some meditation, some mindset and spiritual work during the day. It really, your mind controls your body, it controls your actions. And if you don't work on your mind, you're going to have a hard time being successful. So that's one of mine. I call it mindset spiritual time. Another one is family time and, you know, certain things, you know, meeting up with friends. Those things are non-negotiables to me because relationships are important to me. I've defined that as a huge value in my life, especially this year. I've been guilty in the past of neglecting those things for some of the sand or the busy work that isn't really important or significant. But, you know, I always feel better when I have some connect time with my family or an old friend. So really starting to think about what are my non-negotiables in my day? What do I need to do each day to feel like I'm my best version of myself? And also when you set up goals for the week, you should really be working on three big rocks. I like to call them big rocks. My business coach calls them that. She's got me doing that. But three big rocks. So when something comes up, like let's say one of your big rocks is you have to finish a marketing project at your business or your office, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and they try to distract you with some other side project, you know that marketing project's a big rock, so you're going to prioritize that over this little distraction. And too often we let distractions throw us off of our big rocks. So if we identify what those three big rocks are, we are going to be much more successful. And if we stick to those big rocks and not let second or third tier projects and tasks get in our way, we're going to feel like we got accomplished a much more. So those big rocks should be, what are the top three highest impact things you can do during the week, and identify what those are. So that way you're able to like make good decisions when stuff comes up, when shiny objects appear. Number three, when you are working in a block of time. Now let's say I like to use examples myself. So like just this morning, one of my blocks was I had to finish my client programming for the day. I had a lot of them I had to do. Last night here, it snowed here in the Twin Cities. And so I knew I had to go out and remove snow. But when I got home, I had to get my daughter ready for school. So as I was getting my daughter ready for school, I said, I'm not going to go out and snow blow until I have finished every last client program. So it would have been easy to stop doing the client programs in the middle, shift my brain over to snow blowing and snow removal, and then try to shift back to client programming. But your brain does not like it when you jump from thing to thing. So what I would encourage you to do is whatever thing you're working on in the block, you stick to that thing and you complete it till that block of time is done. Now, sometimes we can't get it done in that block of time, and that's where you put some other blocks of time in called buffer time. And buffer time or makeup, I call it, or you could also call it makeup time. That's when you tie up those loose ends or get those things done. But if I'm saying I'm working on a marketing project or I'm doing a workout or I'm working on a house project from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., finish that project before starting another project if possible. And if you can't, at 4 o'clock, when that block of time is up, be disciplined enough to say, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to finish it up later. I'm going to move to whatever the next block of time is. So you have to respect your blocks of time and then build in makeup time, because you know there's going to be some things that might take longer than you anticipated. And so that's one thing I see, is a lot of people will make these lists and they're multitasking, jumping from one thing to the other, never really completing anything. And so complete your first project before moving to your second project. Respect your block of times. That's number three. And then number four, it just comes down to, this is where I get on my soapbox a little bit, is get look at your choices you're making, all right? I've talked about this over and over again. People's reflection of where they're at is because of good or bad choices they've made. So what are you choosing to spend your time on? Take an honest account. How much time are you spending on social media? I have people tell me they can't work out, and I see them constantly on Facebook posting nonsense, you know, political nonsense, all this stuff. It's like, you've got time to sit there and post and read all these articles. Why don't you have time to take care of yourself? It's complete BS. You know, Netflix, I hear about binge watching, you know, series, or people that are addicted to multiple series. And that's fine if you want to be, if that's what you want to do. But if you want to get in shape, or if you want to grow your business or whatever big goal you have, you definitely want to look at how you're spending your time, because we can't get time back. And so you have to make some sacrifices. A lot of people just don't want to go there and think, I don't want to give this up to get this. Well, then it's not that important to you. You have to be honest with yourself. So you have to look at the choices with you're making, how you're spending your time. I'm all for having some recreation and some downtime, but I would really be hard pressed to believe that there's people that are spending a lot of their time not doing these things every week. And it's the same people that a lot of times that are complaining about never getting any results. All right. Where you put your time into tells you where your priorities are. So put your time into things that matter for the big rocks. I hope these four tips will help you, but the I'm busy thing, it's not going to work, guys. Everybody's busy. Everybody's got the same amount of time in the day. It's how you manage the time that counts. If you want some time management tips, I can share some of my sheets I use on a day-to-day basis to help me really get focused and get things done, not just my workouts, but things for my business, things for my house and my family. It all kind of works together. So hopefully this was helpful. We'll have another Obstacle Smasher coming up here next week. So thanks for being on my podcast, and we'll talk to you later.